Welcome to Trainers Talking Tech on Tuesdays.
Hey everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of Trainers Talking Tech on Tuesdays, which now, due to technology, is actually being recorded on Tuesday in some part of the world. Not that that probably matters to you, because you are listening to this at any part of the world at any time using the magic of the internet. I probably have subscribed to trainertechtalk.net, or alternatively, you might be subscribing to us to be able to see us or reach out to us via our Twitter handle at TuesdayTTT. My name, as always, is Kyle Rosenthal, and I am joined by not one, but two of our regular anchors. How about that? That's better. Brian and James, gentlemen, how are you this fine Tuesday/Wednesday?
Age before beauty, Brian.
Oh, so you're going first. Okay.
Absolutely. I am well, Kyle. I am enjoying this this fine Wednesday. So I think by majority decision, it's still Wednesday. So why would we want to record on a Tuesday? Doing very, very well. So yeah, all good.
That's so good. And Brian, how are you? Do we need to talk up? Because, you know, I know age.
Yes. Please speak up louder. That will make James's job much harder later on to neutralize or balance the audio properly. I am well, Kyle. I do, however, want to say that you are merely predicting that this will be another exciting episode. It could be a failure for all you know.
You know what? I'm going to say ahead of time that it's going to be exciting. There is exciting content that we're going to cover. I have no idea what it is yet, but I know it'll be exciting.
Exciting. People, let's be honest, people go to the car races to see the failures, to see the crashes.
That's true.
I don't know if they listen to podcasts
for the verbal equivalent of a car crash.
If they're listening to ours, they are.
Because yes, ours indeed. Is nothing yep. but car crashes.
So it's been a couple of weeks, gents.
It has.
What have we been up to?
Oh, you know.
About 6-1?
This is really 6-1?
Better and better every time.
Just because it has nothing to do with technology other than using old analog tools. My band just played our second ever gig and actually got paid. So woohoo, yay.
You are almost a professional.
Yeah, exactly. Well, now I can truly say I'm a semi-professional because I have actually received money to play music for somebody.
Now, because you've now said that in a public space, do you have to now declare that as income?
Yeah, probably.
Next year?
Yeah, I'll give them the $3 they're cut. the tax man's cut.
I was going to say, you know, I know that there are people who sometimes might pay you to not play.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's a much bigger audience.
They pay a lot less.
It's fair, but it's hard.
It's the volume. It's the volume of transactions for that one. Yeah.
How do you make your money? Volume.
Yeah, exactly.
So we all made it back safe and sound from Las Vegas.
That super secret location?
Yes.
Super secret location, indeed.
Yes.
So we all made it back. So
I didn't.
You didn't? You're still in Las Vegas?
No, I'm still stuck in Las Vegas.
Look, after having
got spent, lost in the Venetian, easy enough to do.
After having spent just as much time as I did in there, in Las Vegas, you don't want to be there for a long time. You really don't.
You really don't. I really honestly believe this is a note for those people who are thinking about traveling as part of their career, whether they're trainers or not. But we've had a number of tips for trainers. So here's Brian's next tip, and that is when you're in Las Vegas, you have to, even if it's ungodly hot out there, you have to go outside once in a while, because the lighting, no matter where you are in Las Vegas, always makes it seem like exactly the same time. And it messes with you, it, your sleep schedule, it messes with relaxation and work time. You literally have no idea what time of day it is, because there are no windows anywhere in Las Vegas. I'm firmly convinced that there was actually a painting outside of my hotel window, because the only time I ever saw it, it was either dark or just beginning to get light.
So. Yeah, I would agree with that.
It's, I would concur.
Yeah.
Because
it's much more confusing if you do stay inside. One thing that I did notice about Las Vegas was, given that it was in the middle of a desert, it did kind of surprise me a little bit that there was a couple of times where it actually rained quite heavily.
Poor.
And that was quite impressive, because the view that I had was actually out over the out towards the range behind the airport, which I'm assuming that's the San Andreas. I don't know, but it could just be a range. But it was that was actually quite impressive, like seeing the rain come across the plain.
Ah. Was it mostly in Spain?
It was mostly in Las Vegas, but okay. Yeah. But you're right. It is important to get out and to be able to see some of the outside world. I think I've mentioned this before, is that main reasons, particularly if you are traveling, is getting out. It's actually important to be able to do it so that it then your body actually gets used to it too. So your body gets used to the time zone. If you're stuck inside and you never see sunlight, then that's a problem.
It is. It will mess you up. And I'm not even joking about it messing you up. It will play with your body clock in ways that are not fun and exciting.
No.
No.
It's funny. You were talking about the rain, Kyle. I went to a baseball game, as I try to do when I go to towns that I don't get to very often. I went to a baseball game in the desert in summer. It got rained out.
Now, we should also mention that this week that we were there was the most humid that they had been in like 5 years.
Yeah.
At one point, they were at 35 to 45% humidity, and that's pretty rare for the desert.
It was quite humid. Like I think this, as most of our listener would have guessed, I did go out for a run a couple of times, and James and I went out for a run twice. But it was pretty humid. Like even before it started getting really hot, it was just like it was warm, but it was humid.
Yeah.
Well, and it never got below 80 degrees. At any point other than when it was so dark outside in the middle of the afternoon and pouring rain, I think it briefly went down to like 79 degrees and then popped right back up to 90 something as soon as the sun came back out.
Yeah, and then at that point it then became like, 110% humidity. Basically, you were just breathing in liquid.
I noticed. Go ahead, James. Sorry.
My favorite one, there was one period I was outside. And I was trying to figure out what was going on, where it was raining, but it was like middle of the afternoon, but it wasn't raining hard enough, and the rain was evaporating before it actually hit the ground.
Of course it
was. Yes.
So
yeah.
It was...
It was kind of odd, because you could see the mist, but like the mist of the rain, but it actually wasn't doing anything.
And you couldn't feel it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very strange. I had a similar experience when I went out. It was very, very weird.
So, the end result is that while we like going to events, we are not a big fan. We, as a collective, are not a big fan of Las Vegas. A, because it's very expensive, even though they try to tell you that it's not. And B, because you have no idea what time it is, but it's always hot.
Yes. But during winter, it's then the opposite, right? Because it's in the middle of a desert.
That's right. It is quite literally a dehumidified zone, because all there is wind and no escape from it. It never stops. And it's not always as warm as people make it out to be in Las Vegas. When you get those cold winds blowing from the north, it can be downright chilly in that there desert.
Yeah. Mm. Our mutual friend, Karen Henderson, who some of our listeners may know as well. Hi, Karen. Hi, Brian's mom.
Wait. She said, wait, I want to be clear. Karen Henderson is not my mom.
Karen.
Karen is not Brian's mom, as far as we know.
That is not fair to either Karen or my mom. I'm not sure which one gets it the worst end of the deal, but...
Probably equally insulted they should be. But I was having a chat with her during the event. She said, I'm with you guys in spirit. I said, it's probably better to be in Vegas in spirit than in person.
That's true. That's very true. So we should talk a little bit about technology.
Nah.
Yeah, go on. Let's do it. So, yeah, okay. Brian,
yes.
Last time we spoke, you had just made a purchase.
As a matter of fact, I got chastised by James, not this James Finley, but the younger MCT James, at our last recording, because he said, "Wait, you got stuff on Prime Day, and are not going to talk about it." And the reason I didn't talk about it was because I purchased quite a few things on Prime Day, and all of them were delivered to my house. None of them were delivered to me in Vegas. So when I got home, it was sort of like Christmas, because I go, oh, I forgot I ordered this. But before we talk about my big piece of technology, I have to update any of our regular listener that have heard me talk about my ongoing dilemma with laptop bags or carrying bags. And Kyle and the rest of the team have sort of weighed in on this subject and have commented that this piece is better or that piece is better. Up till now, I have avoided the extremely high-end, like Timbuktu and for some reason, I can't remember the name of the other one that Patagonia came up, and other high-end bags have come up, which are possible technology bags, because Kyle has proven that if you take a bag that is not necessarily a laptop bag, it can be used. I mean, Kyle, your bag is a laptop bag, but it's more than that. It's almost like an overnight bag, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, so my bag, like I can use it for both things. Yeah.
Yeah, which makes it very good for especially international travel, which Kyle does a lot. I do a lot of national travel or regional travel, I guess. I was trying to think of international,
domestic.
But no matter if I say international, then I'm right back out there. But within the continental U.S., I do a lot of my traveling, so I don't really need an overnight bag most of the time. Although they did manage to lose my luggage on the way home, and you know we've spoken about other people losing their luggage going to events, but. So the Bouchon full box set of macaroon did not make it home to my wife. They got smushed.
I don't understand why you checked that in, but anyway, that's a discussion and an argument for a different day.
It was fine until the bag got squished, because the bag actually had some damage to it, and it was also because it was over 24 hours before I got my bag. Anyway, it would have been fine if everything had gone perfectly, but nothing goes perfectly. So in my continuing saga, I had a Targus bag, which had lifetime warranty, start to come apart at the seams, literally come apart at the seams, unraveling uh, the the seam of the bag itself, one of the pockets of the bag, which is where the computer goes. So I didn't feel comfortable putting my computer in that. As a way of showing them who's boss, I went out while I was in London and purchased another Targus bag, which I do not like at all. I absolutely dislike it 100%. And yet, I managed to spend, £35 or something like that to get this bag while I was in London. I'm still using that bag and still grumbling about it because it has taken over 3 weeks to get my warranty covered by Targus, even though I sent it to them next day air. So I am starting to lean away from Targus at this point. however, if I get that bag back or get a replacement bag and it holds up for a time, I may rescind my vitriol because I really do like the bag that I have. It's a very nice leather bag. It's designed for multiple laptops or at least multiple tablets. I wouldn't necessarily say that you could really put multiple laptops in there because it's the way it's arranged. But I have taken my external monitor, my Surface Book, my reading tablet, my ebook reader, and my phone, and have had all of the adapters and everything like that in that bag without having it be overstuffed. So I'm pleased to report that its capacity and the comfort of using it as a messenger bag is great. The warranty work, not so great. And even when I was in London, I expected them to react much quicker. And it took sometimes a day before. Of course, I was in London time and they were in US time. But it would take sometimes over a day for them to actually respond as to what was going on with the process. So I've got a continuing saga here, and I'll keep you going with that. But I can tell you that it was, it has been an experience, and not necessarily a pleasant one. So, I'll keep.
But Brian, I hope they send you a replacement, and we're going to be taking bets on whether or not the replacement they send you is not exactly the same, because they probably don't make that bag anymore. But send you a second copy of the one that you already bought and hate.
I really hope they don't, because I really, really actively dislike this bag. I like the color, but it's not leather. It's that sort of polyester, what do they call it? Ballistic nylon, which makes no sense because it's not ballistic in any way, shape, fashion, or form.
It is if you throw it.
Don't you have to throw it at a certain speed in order for something to be considered ballistic?
Yeah, throw it fast. Okay.
So, like a ballistics dummy, that means that it's a dummy that has been thrown very quickly.
Something like that.
Right. Okay, so that covers my rant about that particular device. I have two other pieces of technology news. Would one of you like to interject at this time before I go into further technology-related stuff? Or since I'm on a roll, will you let me continue?
Keep on rolling.
All right.
Yeah, excellent. Keep rolling. Let's have it all out now. This is this does feel a little bit like a treatment session. So Brian,
yes,
tell me about your technology.
Share with the group, Brian.
That's right. Hi, my name is Brian. It's been 2 days since I bought technology.
That's right, and it feels like an eon. I have a little bit of news about Cortana.
Cool.
Ooh. And specifically the Harman Kardon Invoke speaker.
Excellent. Tell me.
I have been a part of the Invoke process since it was first being developed. And I got a very exciting email about the Invoke. And they said, would you like to participate in the next beta? And I thought, oh my goodness, they're going to make an Invoke 2. And they're going to send me a new speaker, and I'm going to be really happy. But it turns out it was actually something much cooler. It was the one digital assistant incorporating into the other digital assistant. I'm not saying either of their names right now because they will both start paying attention and we will start
the Amazon assistant and the Microsoft assistant.
That is correct. Yes, the Amazon assistant and the Microsoft assistant. They are actually integrated now, so that on your PC you can ask for the Amazon assistant, and on your Harman Kardon Invoke you can ask for the Amazon assistant, and then you can ask for the Microsoft assistant on, say, an Echo device, for instance.
So is that still, like, is that...
It's in beta.
In beta, or is that actually released?
No, that's in beta.
Okay, right. So in other words, say, for instance, to be able to do that on your PC, would you have to be on an Insider Preview to be able to do it on the PC?
No, it is actually part of, because of the Microsoft Assistant's integration into Windows 10, you actually have to have sort of this open, I don't want to call it a contract, but you have to have a open connector between the two, and that connector is only available through this beta program.
Okay, right. So you have to be part of the beta program to be able to use it.
Right. So it's very exciting, and I've tried some of the stuff, and it works pretty flawlessly. I'm actually kind of surprised at how well it works. I'm not a big fan of using either digital assistant on the PC, but because I do use both speakers almost equally, I'm pretty pleased with, you know, being able to order from Amazon on the Microsoft device.
Okay. I'm curious about that, because we've just recently had Amazon, I think about a year now, coming up to a year, we've had Amazon launch in Australia. I'm wondering if, following the introduction of that question, we now have Prime, and you can order Echo devices in Australia. So I'm wondering if that'll work in Australia to be able to do the ordering.
I might have
to try that.
Yeah. So I don't know the answer to that. I don't know how it works in regional. Here in America does have that one benefit of we sort of have a little bit of everything. I've talked in the past with Tiago and Kyle, you and James, even though James, your internet connectivity probably is much better than even mine is. Because your country, for some reason, is tapped into the internet near the core of the internet, I'm assuming, because you guys have some pretty amazing speeds there in the New Zealand.
In places.
Well, in other places, you can't get there because Middle Earth is in the way.
True.
Mordor and such. Pretty bad reception there.
Exactly. Actually, not that bad, actually. I wrote a good chunk of a book sitting on top of one of those mountains.
The other piece of technology, the sort of crown, the jewel in the crown, is my favoriteest purchase of Prime Day, which is the Nebula capsule made by Anker. It's A-N-K-E-R. And Nebula is spelt just like the stellar occurrence. And capsule is spelt just like you would expect it to be spelled. It is a projector speaker with built-in Android OS so that you can use it like a smart TV, only it's a built-in device. It's really hard to explain how insanely cool it is, but it does casting. It can be a wireless display device. It has an HDMI port so that it can actually behave like a regular projector. And it is strong enough that it can actually project and be readable in a normally lit room. You don't even have to reduce the lighting, although I have only done tests at a small size. They're only about 4 or 5 feet wide. Actually, I'll take that back. About 3 or 4 feet wide were the tests that I did. I haven't really gotten it up to like 101 inches or anything like that to be able to see how it does at that distance and brightness. But it is the size, and I'm not exaggerating because I have compared them. First of all, what size are Coca-Cola cans in your countries?
375 mil.
Yeah, it's a 330, I think. 330, 375, something like that.
Whatever it takes. 220, 221, whatever it takes. Well, the standard 12-ounce Coca-Cola can, because this particular one that I purchased, because Kyle warned me that he did not see that it actually had the Android operating system on it on the black one, I ordered the red one, which looks just like a Coca-Cola can. Actually, it's not quite the same color red as a Coca-Cola can, but I'm not joking. It is exactly the size of a 12-ounce can of Coca-Cola. Yeah. All self-contained, okay. And the speaker is a wraparound speaker, just like one of those digital assistants speakers that we have mentioned, either the Echo or the Invoke, but it's much smaller. And it's got the projector in it on the side so that it can sit up and be done on a wall very quickly and easily. It also has a screw-in port on the bottom so that you could put it on a tripod, of rather like a desktop tripod or a full-fledged tripod, just like you would with a digital camera or something like that, and you can actually use that as your projector stand. So this is a very cool device. I got it for a very good price at, I think the special price was $239 or $249. I don't remember which one, Kyle. But it's normally $399. I am not sure what its price is right now on the Amazon, but we can maybe send a link to this. I am very keen on Kyle seeing this, but Kyle and I are not actually physically going to be together again until he and I and James are at a upcoming conference to be held in Orlando.
Which by the time he posted was, "Hey, great conference, guys."
Yes, exactly.
We had a great time.
We had a great time, and Kyle really loved this device. But what I'm really dying to do that I have not done, because it's the wires are very difficult to reach in my my setup, is I would really love to plug in my Xbox into this to see how it looks through this device, to see if it displays properly and well and good. But I've checked Netflix, I've checked Hulu, I've checked all of the basic communication things. You can turn it into just a Bluetooth speaker where it doesn't do projecting, and it has pretty good sound. I will say it's not as bassy as some of the speakers, like, you know, Kyle has a Bose speaker, which is really, really good sound. This is medium level sound at best. But it also, as Kyle has pointed out, I have not tested this technology yet because, quite honestly, I like it so much that I keep it in its box, the original box that it came in. It's all packaged up. I don't take it. I like it so much I don't take it out and use it because I'm afraid I'm going to use it up. And I know I got to get past that because I really do need to test out some of these things. But supposedly, you can actually have this go to another Bluetooth speaker. So right. It does the video and has the audio go through like a Bose or a JBL Clip or Clip 2 as an example. So those are the pieces of technology that are busy and are exciting to me. I really am looking forward to both James and Kyle checking out this new device and seeing what they think of it. I am totally sold on it. It is the best little projector that I have. And I have a very good little projector. I'm very keen on it. And the other thing is that it is completely battery powered. It can't be a battery battery bank or anything like that, but it can run off its own battery for up to 4 hours in projector mode. So I did test that to make sure that it actually, you know, had that same kind of lifespan and life expectancy.
So just as a question, does it have a microphone in it as well?
I don't know. I think it does not. I think it is only for speaker. Because now that you ask that, I don't remember seeing anything. Yeah, it talks about total connectivity, and it does have great connectivity, but the connectivity is based on Bluetooth, and I think it's just for the speaker. But that's an excellent thing for me to check on and get back to you on.
Yeah, okay. So the reason I ask is because then if it had the microphone as well, then that's also a handy little video conference type tool as well.
Right. It certainly could be if it does have that.
Obviously, you need to have a.
I need to get it out of the box more.
Well, yeah, you need to get it out of the box, but also it would need a camera as well, so to be able to do full thing. But in which case, the camera might also have the microphone in it. But yeah, it was just curious. But if you don't know the answer, you don't know the answer. That's fine.
I do not have the answers at this time.
They make no mention of it.
Yeah, I would be surprised. I would be surprised if it did.
I would too, but I was just curious.
Yeah.
So I have an exciting technology purchase that I have made. It hasn't been delivered yet. It should be delivered today, which I will also say does signify that I'm potentially getting old. I bought myself a portable TENS machine.
A portable what?
TENS machine. So basically it's a... it's one of the machines that they use it at physios and that sort of thing to be able to work on muscle issue. So basically, it just runs electricity, electricity current through muscles.
Oh, yes. Boy,
I thought they outlawed those in the 70s after one flew over the cuckoo's nest.
Yeah, I believe that you're not supposed to put it across either side of your head.
They actually mentioned that Bruce Lee used to use one of those. You're a fine-looking man, Kyle, but I don't think anybody has ever accused you of being in this Bruce Lee shape before.
Yeah, and look what happened to Bruce Lee.
Same thing that'll happen to all of us, James.
Instantaneous electrical nerve stimulation device.
Okay. You can call it whatever you want, but what it is a muscle jiggler.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Muscle jiggler.
Muscle jiggler. I've purchased one of those because I did some.
You hurt yourself running. Admit it.
Yeah. Actually, no, I didn't. I exacerbated it running.
Okay.
I didn't hurt myself running. That is a lie.
That is a lie. That was a malicious, slanderous lie. You are correct.
Exactly. So yeah, no, I
hurt myself stretching after running. No.
No, I hurt myself carrying a suitcase down some stairs, and it just kind of landed a bit funny. At the time, no, and certainly afterwards, no. But yes, I've stretched one of my tendons, so therefore the recommendation from the physio was to get one of these little portable TENS machines, so that I don't have to keep going to the physio because apparently he doesn't like me.
Well, but, okay, I don't necessarily fault him for that.
No, fair enough too. I don't either. But yeah, so that should be arriving today. So that'll be a little torture device. But the other little bit of technology interaction, and it's all none of this is related to training, of course. I think you guys know about it or knew about it that I've over the last few weeks I've been doing a fitness challenge type thing that I do every now and then. So with a trainer here in Australia. But this time, one of the things that they did was they actually have we did a full, they call it a body scan. Essentially, basically, what you do is you stand on this machine, and it's quite fascinating. Stand on a machine that has nodes, like metal plates on the bottom, and then you hold on to a couple of arms. And what that does is it actually does a full analysis of your body and your body composition, to the extent that just by doing it, and like it was, what was fascinating was that what it was able to pick up. So it did things like measuring body circumference, the weight of like various different limbs. I won't say body parts because that will just set Brian off with childish twins. So various different limbs got basically you get a measurement back from that as to how and also then what the percentage of what percentage of body fat and that sort of thing is in there, and the idea is like sort of over the space of the 6-week challenge was the idea of then, you know, seeing what change you're able to make. But it's fascinating because it sort of, you know, basically like I worked out that my right leg and my left leg, if you join both of those together, if I cut those off, I'd lose like 22 kilos straight off the bat. it's not a weight loss method I would recommend, but
well, makes further exercise a little more difficult.
I think it would be worth the experimentation.
So yeah, like I said, it's quite fascinating. So like it did tell me that basically most of my weight, unsurprisingly, most of my fat is in my trunk. In other words, most of it's in my waist. But yeah, it was quite interesting. And then being able to see sort of how your composition changes over the period of, you know, like some intense exercising. And you know, like making sure that you're actually doing it, or like sort of, no, not making sure, but like the intense regular exercise. It was actually, it's quite interesting to see the difference that it makes. So, quite fascinating. But what I was more fascinated with was actually the technology that did the measurement, because they said like you're not. I would have pictured that, you know, if it's trying to get things like you know, the circumference of your arm or your chest or your neck or something like that, that it actually needed to measure you in some way, shape or form, like, you know, with say for instance, you know, like a infrared or light or something like that. But no, it's done it all through the sensors that you hold onto and you stand on. So, and I don't know how. So that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Hmm. Here's a fun little side note. I know how.
Of course you do.
There you go. Okay, how?
It has to do because they would have had you on both hands and they would have sent the current through your feet, and paying attention to the nodes and looking at things like latency and signal strength, because the different tissues go pass things through at different rates and strengths and kind of wick that off, they can basically calculate. When I was the amount of like muscle versus fat, because they handle things differently. When I was at university, I took part in a study as a subject where I was being hooked up to the real, real early version of this. They were trying to work out the algorithms to do exactly that, and they were looking at, because they were having issues with people on the kind of the extreme lean, which was me at the time, and the other strings, and getting the algorithms and the calculations to work right. And they explained that's exactly what they're doing, and measuring that, and they can then calculate where and how and where it's going through.
There you go. So I think today we've all learned something.
We have. I'm not sure it's stuff that we wanted to learn.
No, I think it is.
You do?
Of course.
Well, good for you.
I wanted to know about your. We all wanted to know about your projector.
Well, I don't. Quite honestly, I don't care. I was going to talk about it regardless.
Rightio. So, James, what about you? Have you technology purchased?
It's not much of a piece of tech. It's not a thing so much, but it's one thing that has made my life a little bit easier in the last few weeks, and it is a small little innovation from our sponsor. Into the addition of adding text boxes into their integrated digital learning X platform, and making it so I can ask attendees and students to put information into the manual and then automatically use that information throughout all the manual steps. It is reducing errors and support calls and making a better experience for my students when manuals are using that. That's something they introduced, I want to say, 3-4 weeks ago, maybe a couple months. I updated a couple of the manuals that I'm responsible for, and everyone has been really, really happy, and I really like what it's done with them.
So
I don't know if it's a new piece of tech, but it is really cool and really, really useful.
Using that for the for that 20347 course then?
Yes, I did. So I got rid of all those things that say replace XXXXX with your lab number. Now I ask them at the beginning, type in your lab number, and then all throughout the remaining 9,000 lines of instructions, it just has the right command.
That's awesome. That's very good use of technology.
Yep.
I like it. We should also mention, we should mention the name of our sponsor, Learn On Demand Systems. And as well as that, mention that Learn On Demand Systems are hiring. Only if you are in the US, though. So we should make mention of that. That it is a remote position, or remote positions, but they're remote positions within the US. But if you are in the US and you are interested in either a career change or a career extension,
change,
yes. Then do make sure that you go to learnondemandsystems.com. If you go to there and then go across to, I think there's a link on there into the LinkedIn page, then there's actually the information about the jobs that are available, positions that are available, are on the LinkedIn page for Learn On Demand Systems. So I would recommend that you go and have a look at that.
Some people may be second guessing that, because then they might actually have to end up working with you, Kyle.
Oh well, yeah, but you know, the upside is that they get to work with you on those occasions where you work.
Damn.
Oh yeah. I went there. But yes, so I would encourage you. There are lots of positions that are available. There is a few positions, and they are also constantly coming up as well, because there's been some pretty large expansion over the last few months, and that is going to be continuing as well. So I would encourage you to do that. Anything else, gents?
No, it's after nothing for me.
Well, that sounds like it might be a good point to finish up for today. In what is actually quite a reasonable time and edible, consumable time, not edible.
Yeah, I was kind of confused as to where you might be going with edible.
Consumable, edible. It's the same thing, right?
Editable. Yes. Edible. No.
Edible.
Someone's been having the edibles, haven't they?
I think so. I think that's what's happened.
Not in Australia. They're not legal in Australia. Come on. So gents, let's do a little bit of our final housekeeping. If people want to be able to get a hold of you, how would they do that, Brian?
That would be at Brian Bork, LODS.
And Mr. Finley?
That would be at NZMCT2.
Because of
and I couldn't get one. But if so, could you actually get one?
No, I could not get one. I tried.
So, and presumably at NZMCT was also taken.
Yeah, and by people that have no obvious reason to have either of those two, but whatever.
There you go. Okay. If you do want to get a hold of me, I am at Windows PC Guy on the Twitter. Otherwise, feel free to drop us a message through to at Tuesday TTT, which is the show's Twitter handle. You can subscribe to the podcast by going to, and also see any of the links, and that's a thing that we've discussed as well, through to trainertechtalk.net. We are also existing now on iTunes, so you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, and we're working on other platforms as well. But otherwise, if you do want to get to us, you can certainly go through trainertechtalk.net. So, gents, anything else before we close out?
Not from my standpoint.
Perfect. Nothing for me.
All right. Well, if depending on when we do when this does get published out, we may very well see you all at Ignite if you're going to be in Ignite in Orlando, Florida. That is at the end of September, if I recall correctly. That we're going to be there, so it's obviously a big Microsoft event. We will try and record a session of this there as well, because obviously we're going to have a bunch of MCTs that are there as well. I should also say, if you are interested in joining us on an episode, then please, like if you're an MCT or an MVP or a trainer of any kind, then please reach out to us, and we'll have you on as a guest. But in the meantime, if you enjoyed this episode, this has been another episode of Trainers Talking Tech on Tuesday. If you haven't, then thanks for joining us on Patch and Switch.